Thus far, God's Word. Let us pray. Father, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to see. In Christ we pray. Amen. Today is a very special day indeed. We sometimes get to welcome new members into our congregation, and that's special in and of itself. But this may very well be a record high count to welcome 10 all at once, and too soon that may be a high point in the life of this congregation. It's special for one. It's special for 100. It's special in that regard. But this day is special apart from new members. And I know a bunch of you are here for those new members. It's special apart from anything else good that may happen in this day. It's special from the things, apart from the things that do happen in this day. It's special because it's the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, as it is also called. Now, if you came this morning with a little energy and your thought process is working, your thinking hat's on, you might have questions about this day, about the Sabbath. For instance, what is it exactly? Why is it now on Sunday instead of on Saturday? Why do we keep it? How do we keep it? Many Christians are rightly confused about these things. I get it, and you want to know. You perhaps want to know more about this day. Well, hopefully we can touch upon these important topics in our time together, to the point that this day may become more special to you new members who are contemplating vows for the first time, and to you longtime members who are reminded of yours, because they do have to do with this day. They deal with this day in particular. As we continue our study of Deuteronomy, which we've been in, and we've taken a two-month break, we're picking it back up for the first time today. We come to the first commandment that doesn't begin with a prohibition against doing something wrong. The first three all begin, "You shall not." Today we have a different type of commandment. It begins with an imperative. You are to do something. God's instruction here for His people is to acknowledge the Sabbath. And that means to make it one day special and unique out of the seven that we have in a week. And we do that by keeping it holy. Now, as the commandment implies, this is for everyone in a household. This is for the husband, the wife, it's for the children, it's for the employees, it's for the guests that may be there. It's even for the animals who might bear the burden of work in some fashion. It is a special day in this regard, unique. But why? Why is it special? Well, the roots of this day go all the way back far beyond before Exodus and Deuteronomy. It goes back all the way to the beginning chapters of Genesis. In Genesis 2, we read that on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. Now, there are some answers that we find even in that passage in Genesis about the Sabbath. One is the Old Testament Sabbath was on the seventh day of the week. That is the day we know of as yesterday or Saturday. We'll talk more about the Sunday Sabbath in just a moment. Also, one might ask, why did God need rest? Well, that is wording. That doesn't mean that He took a nap. It doesn't really mean that He needs rest. God effortlessly created the universe in the space of 6 days. He could make stars and planets every day for 10,000 years straight and never grow weary. That's what I read today. If you were listening to the call to worship from Psalm 121, "He who keeps you will not slumber." Imagine not ever sleeping. God doesn't need it. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God does not need the rest. So the idea of rest here means something different. And in ancient Eastern literature, not just Hebrew, but in other surrounding countries, there was an idea of a God resting, and what it actually referred to was temple building, was dealing with the sanctuary, in other words, with dealing with worship, with holy activities. So here in Genesis, I think it's safe to say that God made this day. And I want you to think about that. He made 7 days. He could have stopped at six. We could have had a six-day week, not a seventh day. He made 7 days in this cycle. And he set this particular day apart as a special one, as a holy one, as a divine one for divine and holy things, activities. Activities related to worship, first and foremost. We might say then that the Sabbath was a day that the Lord made for Him, if I'm reading this Genesis passage correctly, for Him to step back and enjoy this universal temple that He had created, that He enjoyed it. But this command was not given to God, it was given to people, to us, so we need to know how we're to interact with the Sabbath, what He wants from us. Now, there is no way, this is a big topic, there's no way for me to do it complete justice in the time allowed, but I want to give you some things to think about today. What does God want from us on the Sabbath? Well, first, back to that creation idea. This is a day when we too appreciate God's creation, even as He appreciates it. It's a day to celebrate what He has done and continues to do, both in the creation around us. Who cannot appreciate a day like this after the messy weather that we've had for weeks? Who cannot fail to see the blessing of God's hand in this creation? But not only in the sun and the mountains and the fields and the oceans, but in ourselves. We're part of that creation too. It's a day in which we appreciate our part in that creation, our lives and the lives of those around us. So part of the process of celebrating the Sabbath is simply to change our pattern so that we can appreciate what God has done, to change gears. We talk about, speaking of gears, we talk about sometimes that life is a grind. And you know by that, adults, what I mean, that means to be in such constant, regular, repetitive, routine activity that it can often lead in us to a numbness of joy. It's like we're just machines performing tasks and we derive no fulfillment or joy from them. I believe that in part the Sabbath was meant for us to step back from the grind, which it certainly can be, to step back and to smell those roses and to appreciate the one who made them. To step back to appreciate God, that so that life is not a grind. What a miserable thought. That we're machines just here to perform tasks over and over. The Sabbath provides us a moment for renewal. It's like a weekly gift to us, in a sense, from God, where we can gain a fresh love and appreciation for Him. Second, it's a day not only to appreciate Him, but specifically to do what we're doing right here, to worship Him. The biggest part of appreciating Him is actually coming together. You know, that's what the main reason for worship is here. It's not for me to excite you and come up with all sorts of illustration, life illustrations. And it's for you and me to glorify God, to give Him what He is due. We can never give Him enough of what He's due. The first and foremost purpose of worship is to glorify God. For us to be here and praise Him in song and prayer and reading Scripture and learning what He wants of us. So the specific reason for Sabbath is to worship and worship together. Leviticus 23 calls this, the purpose of the Sabbath, for holy convocation. That means a formal assembly of people, not just onesies and twosies here and there. Sometimes worship has to be that way. One of my heroes, Jeremiah Denton, who was a... I'm from Alabama. He was a U.S. Senator from Alabama. He was a veteran of the Vietnam War. He was in prison there for 7 years under some horrible situations. The word of the Lord carried him through, and for most of that 7 years, he worshiped alone in various prison cells. Sometimes worship has to be that way, but that's not the norm. That's not the call for us. It's for holy assembly together, to meet together for the purpose of worshiping Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, and not putting other things before it. And not putting other things before it. Nothing before it. Now, this is a good point to stop and exhort all of you who are church members into thinking about this vow that you took that said, do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? The first and foremost way you do that, whoever you are, is simply by coming. By coming here and worshiping. And worshiping the Lord. How are some practical ways we do that then? One, by not making a consistent habit of staying out late or staying up late or wearing oneself out on Saturday night. We prepare for Sunday worship on Saturday. Be rested today. Don't come in here for nap. You might as well stay home. Your bed's more comfortable than these pews, I know. I am glad to stand up here and not sit on the pew. Stay at home in bed if you're... Take a nap at home. Better yet, come rested to church. Come rested. Prepare on Saturday for Sunday. Don't look for excuses to miss church. Every preacher in his right who's honest with you will tell you that about half the time we don't feel like coming up here or want to. We feel heavy of spirit. We feel sick and ill and cranky just like you do. We feel distracted and harried and hurried. Come to church no matter what, unless you've got the plague and then you stay home. Come to church. Don't look for excuses to miss. Don't schedule things on Sunday if you can help it. Don't leave on Sunday morning for your vacation. Do it in the afternoon or do it on a different day. Or if you're on vacation on Sunday, find a church to worship in there. It is a sweet experience to go worship in other churches, as long as you don't leave and become members there. Go worship where you are. Or even do on occasion family worship on Sunday. If there's not a church nearby, if you're buried out at a state park 100 miles from nowhere, worship together as a family. Today is a day primarily of worship. Third reason, today is a day of rest. Now, I said that God doesn't need rest, and no, He does not, but you can bet that we do. We need rest. We are limited in physical and emotional energy. Physical and emotional energy. If we go too far, we wear down or we break down. Man and beast. That is why every living creature in the household is mentioned in that passage. I haven't yet learned how to get my chickens to quit laying eggs on Sunday. But the point of the donkey and the oxen is profound in there. Now I want to pause again to give you a moment to weigh on this issue. First off, I'd like to just make note of the fact that One of the main effects of sin, of our sin nature for all of us, is to be legalists. And in that sense, we mistakenly think that there is something that we can do, and in this case, keeping the law, that justifies us to God, that makes us worthy in God's sight of being saved. No. No. No, there are no good people. There's nothing you can do or I can do to be saved other than leaning on Jesus Christ for His perfection. Nothing. You can't be nice enough for God. We should strive to keep these laws. That's why we're going through them, because He gives them to us to keep. But why? The motivation is the thing. Why do we keep them? Because it's His manual for loving Him back, for responding to the love of Christ by loving Him back and loving one another back. We're about to change gears next week. We're going to talk, when we talk about the last six laws, the first laws are about loving God. Guess what the last six are about? Loving one another. So we are to keep the laws. Boy, are we to keep them, but not because it saves us. It's because it's our expression of love. Now, to keep it for any other reason is false. It makes us liars and misguided hypocrites. And there was a name for that, a particular name for that back in Jesus' day. It was called a Pharisee. And of all the laws that they struggled with in their hypocrisy, this is a subjective opinion here, it seems to me that the one that they struggled the most with was this one, was Sabbath keeping. In Mark 3, Jesus sees a man with a withered hand. That's a lifetime condition, lifetime handicap, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and He heals him on that day. A wonderful thing. And His justification is that the Sabbath day is a day of life, not of illness and sickness and sin and death. So he heals this man. He blesses him beyond measure. And He also says this telling statement in Mark, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, in a nutshell, that means that the Sabbath was given not as a chain, not as a confinement to us, but as a gift. As a gift in many ways, a gift. It was made for us, not us for it. The Pharisees were enraged by this. They were enraged by Christ and what He did on the Sabbath and the things He said to them. And at the heart of that had to be self-righteousness. That they thought that their version of keeping this law was good enough for God, and it should have been good enough for Jesus. Jesus called them out a number of times. In Matthew 12, He said, "Which one of you has a sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?" And then in Luke, He says, "You hypocrites." He just flat out name calls here. "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? Otherwise it'd die." In other words, they actually did work on the Sabbath as it suited them or as it benefited them in their perception. Or they had someone else do it. The real hypocrites among them had someone else do it, so they wouldn't technically be the lawbreakers. I would exhort you to set this day aside from regular work when at all possible. It's not always possible. I realize that. Some of you are in medicine and health care. Hospitals just can't quit caring for their patients on Sunday, can they? No, they can't. I'm glad they don't. Neither can utility workers. I mean, you try going for a Sunday without a fireplace when it's 15 degrees and the power goes off. It's rough. We need some things. There's some things that are very important, even vital. And if you're in one of those occupations, thank you. Thank you. I believe this was the spirit in which Jesus healed on the Sabbath out of necessity out of love and kindness. But I would encourage you to do this, to make a Sabbath day as best you can on another day of the week, if you're working on Sunday, until you can worship and rest on Sunday. Because that's the primary objective for a Christian. And that may involve for you one day a shift change, or maybe a different employer. Strive to worship on the Sabbath, even if you're at this point in time working on the Sabbath. But thank you for your service if you are in one of those occupations. Now, this also goes, I believe, for extenuating circumstances of other sorts. He mentioned the sheep in the pit. How about when the cows get out? And how many times does that happen around here on a Sunday morning? The cows get out and there they are in the road just waiting to get hit. How about when the hurricane approaches? That's a pretty extenuating circumstance and a pretty vital one. Please weigh this issue carefully. Be careful about creating habits of work on this day. Strive to be off on Sunday as you can. But also be very careful about being legalistic about it, because that was what Jesus was arguing against these Pharisees. If you want to perfectly keep the Sabbath, there's a lot longer list than even the best of us try to do. You shouldn't make your bed up on Sunday, for one thing, because that is work. You should not cook a meal on Sunday or have your wife cook a meal, because that is work, my friends. You won't do things that constitute work, and you will lead that cow in the road. And even if you don't do all those things, it still won't be enough to prove your righteousness before God by law keeping. It won't do it. Be careful with this one. Fourth thing. God made this day especially for His people, those who believe in Him and seek to honor Him. The things I've said before, the things about appreciating God and creation, that means nothing if you don't believe in Him. There are many more people than us out there who have set this matter to rest about creation, and it doesn't have anything to do with God in their minds. God made this day for His special people, His set-apart people, and that is believers, Old Testament and New. It is a day in which we celebrate and enjoy that uniqueness. How do we set it apart? If we're set-apart people, how then do we set it apart, other than the things I've already mentioned, appreciating God, worshiping Him? Here are several ways of which, particularly the Westminster Standards and the catechisms mention. And bear with me here on this one, because like I said, I can't do this subject justice, but I'm trying to in one sermon. Bear with me. We are not simply to worship corporately together in this 1 hour. The Sabbath, there's nothing that says the Sabbath is a 1 hour day. I know, it's an old worn out joke that pastors only work 1 hour a week. I'm in that hour right now. The Sabbath is not a 1 hour day. There's also what's called in the catechism the private exercise of worshiping God. That's in study, in reading, and in prayer. Think about it. Think about in a busy week about not having enough time to do those things. Sunday's your chance. This is your chance. Not just this hour, there's the rest of the day too. Also, the catechism says this, that today is a day for works of mercy, of visiting the elderly, the sick, shut-ins, of helping one another, of the blessing of Christian fellowship, which we will enjoy here in just a few moments, of hospitality. How special is it for us to build up one another in love, particularly those who are in some predicament of age or health or isolation? It is vital. Today's a special day, and we have the time to do so, and we have the command and the exhortation to do so, to do works of mercy. It's truly honoring to God when we do those. Third on this, to rest, to actually physically rest, not running around 90 miles an hour like the rest of the week. Take a nap, take some quiet time, take a load off, rest a little bit, recharge. That's a practical thing, isn't it? Fourth here, refraining from worldly business. I've already talked about that some, and leisure. And as in all these things, you have to be convicted in spirit about these details. I can tell you what I think. I can make suggestions, but you have to be convicted about what you think and how you keep the Sabbath. If the Sabbath means, though, not to work, which God has specifically said, and to be holy and to be set apart, then you might think carefully about doing commerce. And I'll add to that an E in the front as well, about doing commerce, business, or promoting it in the lives of other people. Now, that's a big statement that I just said. That means refraining from non-essential parts of your job, of your work. It means probably at most times refraining from shopping and movies and ball games and eating out. And eating out. Think about Disney World or Panthers games or restaurants. That's commerce. That's non-essential commerce. Engaging in these things and in these ways fails not only to set apart the day, in my view, as special and unique and restful and worshipful, but it also promotes other people into non-essential occupations. Because going to Disney World on Sunday is a non-essential if there ever was one. Refrain from worldly recreation. I know I'm stepping on toes. I step on my own toes before I step on yours. How unpleasant is that, friends? That's what a pastor has to do if he's honest. He steps on his own toes first. Refrain from worldly recreation. I personally interpret that, having thought about it for years, for myself, to mean not joining or participating formally in leagues and teams on Sunday. And I love sports. I love playing. I won't browbeat you here again. This is a personal conviction thing. But the practice of the Sabbath throughout the ages, just as with eating out on Sundays, that's only been around a few decades. It's only been around a few decades, and that doesn't make it right. Throughout the millennia, the practice of the Sabbath was not to do these things. I greatly admire Eric Little, Chariots of Fire. You need to watch that. Better yet, read the books about him. He was a world-class sprinter in England back in the early 1920s. And he skipped the 100-meter dash in which he was highly favored because they scheduled it on Sunday. He skipped it. And how do we remember him? Not because he won it, but because he skipped it and adhered to his principles of honoring the Sabbath. Something less known but equally as meaningful, just a couple of years ago, Covenant College, the College of the Presbyterian Church in America, there outside of Chattanooga on Lookout Mountain, the women's tennis team in 2016, they made it all the way to the championship game, and they forfeited. Same reason. Final on Sunday. Didn't have to be that way. The league could have honored them and scheduled around that, but they forfeited, and they will always be known for that long after some trophy, dusty trophy in a closet, would have been forgotten about. Think about it. Think about it. Fifth reason to keep the Sabbath. And the last one. This is a day that reminded the people of Israel that they were released from slavery. That they were released from being prisoners in Egypt, where they were working under harsh, continuous conditions against their will every day as owned property. They were suffering. They were dying. The Sabbath was a day to remember and to give thanks for deliverance. And likewise, and even greater, because what is old is also what new, what is new, but only bigger and better. Likewise, the same thing. Today is a day where we are reminded of our deliverance. We were slaves too, just like they were. In the same way, we just didn't have the taskmasters. We were slaves to sin. And who released us from that prison, that eternal prison? Jesus Christ. Today is a day when we celebrate Jesus for releasing us, delivering us from sin. As a part of that, Jesus rose from death on the first day of the week, Sunday. And beyond that, a few weeks later, the Holy Spirit came down upon thousands of people on Pentecost, on Sunday. And because of these two things, the church, the early church, identified so strongly with Jesus and His activity that they began to worship not too long thereafter on Sunday, the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day. That's why it changed for Christians. And that's why it's still on Saturday for Jews. They not only began to identify this as the Sabbath, the set-apart day, but also the Lord's Day. We could call it Christ Day. It's the day when Christ defeated death and gave us life and gave us the Spirit. And this is the day that we worship. This is why Christian churches worship on Sunday, if that were ever a question to you. So after all of this, after all these things, after all the challenges, after all the encouragements, I hope, here is the Lord's Day. God gave it to us as a gift, even as we are to recognize and honor Him in it, as we see His hand in creation and salvation and rest and mercy. Now, perhaps I haven't adequately convinced you of these things. That does not surprise me. I can't. But God can. So I'm going to leave you today with a passage to think about. This is from Isaiah chapter 58, and this is God speaking. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to view this day as a gift and a celebration, not a drudge and an obligation. Help us to see that your holy things are better than our best things that we can devise or do or pursue. Lord, help us. I pray for all of us that we would be more convicted in this day, that it is yours and that it is ours. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 3. Holy, holy, holy. Number 3.